Fred Film Radio, Locarno Film Festival, Switzerland.
Fred Film Radio from the 75th edition of Locarno Film Festival. I'm Federica Scarpa, and today I'm in company of João Pedro Rodrigues and João Rui Guerra de Mata, directors of What Is This Street? So I want to start this chat with a confession. I've never watched The Green Years, but it's in a way the beginning of your films. Can you tell me about this film and why this other film is so important?
I don't think it's a problem that you haven't watched the film. Because when we did this film, of course, there's a reference, and the film is a sort of an homage to that previous film. But we also felt that it is also a portrait of Lisbon nowadays. And The Green Years was a film made in 1963 by Paulo Rocha, who was a teacher of mine at Lisbon Film School. And it's a film that was shot in the area where I was where I've always lived in the whole of my life. And I live in my grandparents' apartment, and there is one of the locations of Paulo Rocha's film that is just below my window and our window, because we lived together for many years. And so when I discovered that, I always thought that even while making my films, because I've always been filming that area, that same area in my films, I was always going and bumping into Paulo Rocha's locations. And so it was always in my mind and we thought that this would be perhaps the right time to make a film make a portrait of Lisbon almost 60 years after Paulo Rocha made his film, because his film was also a sort of a portrait of Lisbon at the time, a Lisbon where Portugal lived under a dictatorship, and now we've been living since 1974 a democracy, and especially lately the city has changed a lot. And so that was the starting point, looking at that film through our window, looking at first at the location and that looking at the whole places of that film.
I read, I don't know if it's right, that the idea of this film came before the COVID, so you had already in mind, but how the city changed filming during the COVID, comparing to your ideas?
So yes, we were preparing the film. It actually took us quite a long time to prepare it, because as João Pedro said, the city did change, a lot. And so we were preparing, and actually we start shooting before the COVID. The shooting was interrupted, and then we went back to, well, to this city, which is kind of incredible, because because in our film, because we don't have characters, well, and we don't have really a plot, and that might sound a bit bizarre, but you really have to see the film to understand why we don't have characters or plots. What we were shooting was already an empty city, because there weren't people in those locations. And then when we went back to shoot, we found a totally empty city. But I suppose anyone can relate to that, because it was a bit like this all over the world. And for us, I mean, we had the chance of not shooting and wait for the pandemic to go, or keep on shooting when they let us shoot. And we thought, I mean, we can't ignore the fact that there is a pandemic. And in a way, the film is, well, of course, it's an homage to Paulo Rocha's 1963 film, and it's, of course, an homage to Lisbon nowadays. In a way, it is also an homage to Isabel Hood, because she does appear in our film singing two songs, and she was the main character in the original film, and she's the only one alive, I mean, the only from the original cast. So, of course, we wanted to shoot with her. But also, I think it is a portrait of Lisbon, or at least a portrait, well, of Lisbon, obviously, but a portrait of a city during during a pandemic. And the city did change a lot. Suddenly you didn't have traffic, for example. All the traffic sounds that you could hear were basically police cars, ambulances, firefighter brigades. People were occupying the city in a very different way. They were not running for the jobs anymore. They were, and also because gyms were closed, they were like, you know, exercising outside. They were walking the babies, walking the dogs. The birds were back. And so the soundtrack of Lisbon under the pandemic is a completely different. I mean, you don't see tourists, and now Lisbon is probably one of the most touristic cities in Europe. So a lot changed. And of course, it's horrible periods.
There was a lot of drama.
And there was obviously a lot of drama. But we said, I mean, we had to go outside. Because if you think about the majority of the pandemic films, I mean, films made during the pandemic, it's indoor films. Because people couldn't go outside. And what he did was, okay, let's try and discover this city that is so familiar to us, but perhaps we never saw it like this. Hopefully we'll never see it again like that. But and so in the end, it becomes also a document about a city under a pandemic. But yes, it's true. It's completely different from what it is.
Watching your film, I also thought about city symphonies like Berlin of Ruttmann. In that film, see the city is full of life during the arc of a day. The people running to go to work and etc. It's crowded. Yours is completely overturned this idea, but it's a city symphony.
Somehow it is, and we had that in mind. But it's true that usually also those, as you said, it's during one day. It's from the beginning of the day until the end of the day. So you see, you watch the every occupant of the city since early morning until night. And also as we were following an already written script, because we were following Paul Rocha's script, but in a very strange way. We go from night to day, day to night. There's not this logic of a unity of a space and time. So what we did is a film that, in a way, it's breaking a chronology because it's day, there's night, and you don't really understand why it changes because we are following a chronology that is a narrative chronology, and we don't have that narrative chronology because we don't have the actors. So it becomes more abstract. I think it's like breaking up that idea of unity that is in City Symphonies, like the Walter Ruttmann film. But we already had done a film in Macau that was a sort of also inspired by City Symphonies, which was the last time I saw Macau, where it's also a portrait of Macau. In that film, we had the story. It was like a film noir story. But in this film, it's like, well, there's no story. It becomes more, we called it like a jazz improvisation, but it becomes more jazzy. It becomes more like a rhythm film, like a film that goes with a, because you follow movements of camera that you don't really understand why camera moves like that. You film things that you don't really understand. But I hope that you're drawn into a sort of a movement, like a rhythm that the film itself creates. But it's also a rhythm that is not a fast rhythm. Sometimes it's fast, sometimes it's long. So you feel time passing. And we really wanted to show that time passing. And it's also reflecting on our and today's time, somehow.
I also thought about, I think films are ghosts that they surround us. I don't know. I found it very comforting that places in films are there, and then there's this idea that there are themes in every places.
There are, in my opinion, every place has its own history, in the sense of you can look at a place and then imagine what could happen there. Because every place, every city, countryside, whatever, yeah, everything is haunted by ghosts. In the sense that if you take the time to look, which is something we don't do anymore nowadays, and it's something that we did, if you look carefully, you'll probably see ghosts there. Or even if you don't, you can imagine what could happen in the area. Even if it's not happening, let your imagination go. And, you know, almost like a child in a way. This idea of playful and inventing stories, inventing narratives just by looking at places. Of course, as Robert was saying, about this film, you have to take in consideration when he said the written script. We followed exactly the same camera movements, exactly the same time as the original film. The camera is put at exactly the same spot or as close as possible where Paulo put the camera in the original film. And he did that because he liked those places and there was action happening. Actors, dialogues, a proper fiction film. When we take the actors and therefore we take the narrative, we take the plot out of those locations, what are we left with? For some people, perhaps we're left with nothing. For us, it's exactly the opposite. What you do is that you're looking at what usually you don't look when you watch the film, what's behind, unless the director really wants you to see what's behind, because you're totally focused on the actors, the acting, because that is the plot. So when you take that out of the frame, what do you get? In our case, we got like ghosts from the 1962 film. Three, sorry. It's like you have emptiness. And that's probably why people are so afraid of emptiness. It's because you don't feel very comfortable when you don't know what you're looking at. So you have time to look at, let's say, nothing. So that's a bit scary because you don't understand if you're supposed to be seeing something or not. And that is something we kind of wanted to experiment this time in our film.
I think it's a great way to see a film in a different way.
Well, thank you. I mean, I still consider this a documentary, although it's a bit difficult for me to say what it documents. So, and yes, because it's inspired and, well, based on a feature film, for me, in a way, it's still a fiction, but that's because I remember the previous film. But I hope people don't feel obliged to see one to compare with the other, because this is not like a comparison game. It's really like cinema. I think people should be involved, even involved with things they don't understand. The act of discovering something new in a film is, at least for me, the most exciting thing. Seeing films that always tell the same story, same type of narrative, same type of camera movements, I mean, doesn't it get a little bit tiring after a while? And isn't it so rewarding when suddenly you see something that is, whoa, I've never seen this, and what the fuck is going... Sorry, I shouldn't have said that. I have to cut, but you know what I mean? Suddenly it's like, whoa, okay, what am I supposed to... And this act of discovering, of even the act of exploring, the act of being in, like in a cinema room with other people staring at something that you're not quite sure what it is, it might attract you or repel you, but if you let yourself go, and in our case, the images, almost random in a way, they're not, because sometimes you go back to the same decors, but you don't really know why you're going back there, especially like the empty garage, right? Why do you keep going back there? There is a reason in the other film. In our film, there's no reason. But in a way, I like, at least for me, it's kind of mysterious. And then you have the music, which kind of, there is a dance between the images and the music. And you don't know if they're dancing together or not. But if you let yourself go, I mean, hey, that's what cinema should be about, right?
Let's talk about music, how you choose this music and how you work on that, because with Lisbon and the screenplay, it's the third protagonist, let's say, of this film.
I had worked with Séverine Ballon. She's a cello player and also a composer in my previous film, The Ornithologist. And this film, the original film, Os Verdes Anos, the Green Years, has music by Carlos Paredes, which was a guitar, Portuguese guitar player. And so it's acoustic guitar all the time. And cello is also acoustic, an acoustic instrument. So we thought, I really had loved the work that she had done with us, with me. And we thought it was the right thing, because she also does like a more contemporary sort of music. She really works in contemporary music and more abstract. As the film is, you're talking, it's more abstract. It's there's no narrative. So we thought it would be the right person. And what she did a very impressive work, which was like she, thinking about all the music that existed, she composed music that is inspired, but it's different. And so that also brings another layer to the film. And another, also the rhythm of the film, it's also very much into that, the music that she composed and that she plays. And it was a very complex and complicated, because the cello that you listen has many voices. Many voices means that she has to do first one voice, because she plays herself. It's all acoustic. She has to play first one voice, then another voice, and then we added the layers. And so it becomes complex. It was a little bit like the work that we did. We did like a sort of a archaeological research to find the places where Paulo Rocha really shot the film. And we had like to compare maps, compare a lot of like archival. We had to go to archives. We had an art historian working with us. And to find those places, we also found a lot of layers. Sometimes we had like to look at the geological charts of the areas that we wanted to shoot, and like to find the, like, because everything changed, and so we had to go back in what it was recorded before. Recorded in the sense what was written and what was the old maps and so there was already on our side like a layer. We worked in layers, like what was the original, the 1963 layer, then what changed, and it changed many times. So somehow it was departing from that first musical layer of the original film. She did something that she did something totally different, but it also resonates of the old film. As our film, it's totally different, but it also resonates of the old film.
How did you involve Isabel Ruth in your film?
We got in touch with everyone that was alive from the original film, and so she is the only actress alive, and I knew her a little bit. But we met her like more seriously, like proposed her to, we want to film with you. I think I even said that in the presentation of the film yesterday, that we had one of the reasons to do this film is also to be able to film with Isabel. We explained the idea, but she only saw the film yesterday, and I think she was a bit surprised because she was not really waiting for, she didn't know what the film was. But we also wanted to film with her as she is nowadays, like she's like a much older person, and she wants to sing. She still plays in theater and cinema, but she also sings, And so we knew that, and so she sang several songs of her, like 30 songs or once, and we chose some of the songs because we wanted to make also a portrait of her today, as she is today, the age she has, and that we were not like we were not looking at her in a nostalgic way, like the girl she was and what she is now. So it was very joyful, and I think the film also ends with her joy, because it's like the ending of the film is like a hymn to Lisbon and to her.
I totally agree, because it's full of joy and really moving, the end of the film with her. I find it amazing.
And you know what? The ending of the film was designed since the beginning, meaning pre-pandemic, pre-COVID. We knew we wanted to end the film with Isabel, so much alive, singing, almost like it is a popular Portuguese song, and we wanted her to be the way she is, really a very joyful woman. She is the grande dame of Portuguese cinema. And then when we shot, and now I'm talking during the pandemic, what we understood was, we keep talking about layers, but there is yet another layer, which is, yes, the world did survive the pandemic. Yes, we are so happy to be alive. And yes, we should sing more, dance more, and be perhaps happier. If we have to learn something from these horrible, horrible, horrible times that we lived, is that we should be better people, and we should, party more in a way. Although, as I said, it was designed since the beginning, pre-pandemic, and of course we didn't know there was a pandemic going to happen. But in the end, it also portrays this cry for joy and for happiness, I think. So, yes, I just wanted to make this point, because it wasn't something that came after. It was actually designed before, but in a way it echoes so much on what us at least felt when we understood that it was not going to be it was pretty horrible, but it wasn't going to be the end, if you know what I mean. Oh, yeah, if you know what I mean, yeah.
It's the magic of cinema, I'd say.
The magic of cinema, you know. If you're not really making a documentary on one hand, and on the other hand, you're not making a fiction, so to be honest, I don't know what I'm talking about. But anyway, when you point the camera at something, sometimes miracles happen. And sometimes you're not even aware of those miracles while you're shooting. It's during the editing process that you go like, oh my God. And you just go like, and you get totally mesmerized, because sometimes very insignificant, something just a tiny bird or, a je ne sais quoi, like the French say. But it is a kind of magic, because you're not waiting for it. And the fact that it happened kind of completely changed what you thought that you were doing. Probably it doesn't make sense what I'm saying, but well.
It completely makes sense, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. I really want to thank you, João Pedro Rodrigues and João Rui Guerra de Mata, directors of What Is This Street, out of competition here at Locarno Film Festival, and I'm Federica Scarpa for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.